trials or danger, he never wanting there.
Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, yes, I want to know if you love my Lord. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor song.
Not only is that hymn fitting because of our theme, it's also very fitting. It just came to me because of this day, Soldiers of the Cross. And even if we didn't serve in our country's military, we are in a spiritual battle. And that's what our message is about today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is Beware the Antichrist. Based on our second reading for today, let me read selected verses from 2 Thessalonians 2. Let no one in any way deceive you, for the man of lawlessness will be revealed. He who opposes God, he who is the Antichrist and displays himself as God. So far the text. I invite you to turn inside of your bulletin and find the insert as we consider our theme, Beware the Antichrist. This is a teaching of Holy Scripture that many Christians have no clue about, so I'm really glad this text appeared today. First of all, we speak of antacid. It's a drug that helps with acid indigestion. We speak of anti-aircrafts, guns on the ground that shoot at planes in the air. We think of antibiotics, a chemical that fights against bacteria. Antifreeze, a substance that prevents freeze-up in the radiator. Antihistamine, a compound that opposes allergic reactions. Antiseptic, a substance that destroys microorganisms and decay. All of these antis, but what is or who is the Antichrist? It's our message today. What is the Antichrist? Point one of our message. Jesus tells us that the Antichrist is a false Christ who comes to mislead God's people. Listen to Matthew 24. Jesus said, "Many false Christs and many false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even God's elect. See, I have told you beforehand." St. John tells us that the Antichrist, note carefully, comes from within the church, denies Christ, and tries to deceive believers. 1 John 2, John writes, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard, Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. They went out from us, but they were really not of us. Who is the Antichrist and liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist." In this passage, we learn a couple of important things. John says, this Antichrist will come in the last hour. When is that last hour? The last hour is the time between Jesus' resurrection and the end of the world. So when is that last hour? Right now. John tells us there are many antichrists, and they come from within the church. We'll get to that later. And how do you know them, John says? We know them because they deny Jesus Christ. They're like wolves in sheep clothing, but they deny Jesus Christ. And what's their purpose? John tells us, to deceive believers. Our next point in our outline tells us, well, there are numerous biblical examples, but also secular examples of this liar, this deceiver, this misleader. So today's sermon is really not a typical sermon. It's more of a history lesson. It's a Bible lesson, but we'll apply it to our lives as God's Word as well. In the Old Testament, one who raises himself up against God, he has a nickname in Ezekiel 39. A prophet calls him Gog, G-O-G. About 587 B.C., Ezekiel writes these words. It's a prophecy about the end times. It's an enemy of God. And the text says when this enemy of God is destroyed, God will be glorified. Antiochus IV was an evil Greek king, written about in 530 B.C. by Daniel in chapter 7 and 31 and 32. Daniel talks about an evil Greek king who will, and he did, erect a statue of himself in the Jerusalem temple, telling people, you must bow down and worship me as God because I am taking the place of God. That is, I am against God. That is, I am anti-God or anti-Christ. There are New Testament examples of the Antichrist. In the lesson we read today, 2 Thessalonians, he's called a man of lawlessness. Listen to the text again. Paul writes, let no one deceive you in any way. The man of lawlessness will be revealed. He who opposes himself against God and displays himself as God. Paul says, how do you know the Antichrist? He publicly opposes God and often tries to say, I am godly as well. Jesus in Matthew 24, a lesson we just read, says the key point is that many antichrists will arise and they'll try to deceive God's people. But here is a real curious one coming up next. Look at number 3 in your outline. Caesar Nero. In 90 AD, in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, we hear something about Caesar Nero and this famous number you've always heard about, the number 666. Listen to Revelation 13. John writes, he performs great signs. He deceives all who dwell on the earth. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for that number is 666. How many of you have heard of this number, 666? It's called the number of the beast. You'll see it in movies, horror movies. You'll see it on covers of rock albums and CDs. Why 666? In Hebrew numerology, for various reasons, the number of God often is 7. God is 3 persons, and he comes to our earth, the 4 corners of the earth. God with us is 7. What is 6? 6 is a 7 wannabe. 6 is 7 minus 1. So what is 666? 666 simply means really evil. But also, historically, 666 was the numerical value for the name Caesar Nero, written in the Hebrew language. Caesar Nero, who was the mass murderer of many Christians. They called him 666. Now, secular history and church history has a record of talking about the Antichrist as well. In 140 AD, after Christ was born, he's described like a son of man, that is, like a Messiah. In 155 AD, the Antichrist is called the spirit of heresy. That is, wherever you find false teaching, there's the Antichrist. 635 AD, he's identified with Muhammad and Islam. In 1202 AD, he's identified with false popes. In 1550, during the Reformation, no surprise, the Antichrist is connected with the Roman Catholic Church, especially the false teachings of the church that denied the gospel of Jesus Christ and led people away from the cross. But in the 18th through the 20th centuries, historians have identified the Antichrist with these people listed before you and many more: Napoleon, Kaiser Wilhelm, Adolf Hitler, and the Ayatollah Khomeini. So now we ask the question, is there an Antichrist, or are there various Antichrists? And the key passage in the entire Bible is 1 John 4. Listen carefully as I read this passage. And you're given this extended outline because I want you to take this home and do more studying and thinking yourself. It's a teaching of the Bible most of us haven't spent much time with. Listen to 1 John 4. Beloved, many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist who is now already in the world. There are two key points in this passage. First, we talk about in the text the spirit of the Antichrist. This means false teachings that have been found all throughout the ages and even continue today. And what is the false teaching? It's this: that Jesus Christ is not God, and he's not come to our earth to be our Savior. So today, there are many religious flavors all over the map. But if ever anybody even sounds like saying Christ is not God and he's not the Savior, we know it's the spirit of the Antichrist. John also says, note, there are many false prophets who rise up throughout the ages, from Jesus' time until now. Well, now I hope you're asking the question, so what? Because now our message ceases being a history and Bible lesson, and now it comes time to apply these things to ourselves. The issue, and this is becoming so important in our day, and so important for our young people, as this evil age becomes darker and darker, and things that are going around us we would have never imagined 30, 20 years ago are happening every day. The issue is our ability to identify the Antichrist spirit and to flee his deceptions. Now let me give you some examples of the Antichrist spirit today. It's listed before you, 3A. Liberal, anti-biblical theology that even comes from within the church. 1 John 2 tells us the Antichrist comes from within the church. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. It's sad, but it's true. Some churches today that call themselves Christian are denying historic biblical teaching and doctrines, and are teaching falsehood. Do you want a list of such teachings? Do you want a list of such churches? Come see me sometime. I'll sit with you and give you these. You might be surprised. But there are also modern religious cults, and they come from outside the church. Now, they try to sound like the church. They try to look like the church, but they're not the Christian church. And so people who are spiritually hungry are being deceived into joining these cult organizations. And let me be very clear. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses may be moral people, maybe even nice people, but they are not the Christian church. If you want more information about that, again, I welcome you to get a hold of me. And let's look at the secular media all around us. Newspapers, TV, movies, and personalities. Well, let's just talk about television for a moment. In my former life as a seminary professor, I had to do research into such things to help prepare the new generation of pastors. And it was shown by extensive research that teenage people in North America, teenagers, watch an average of 30 hours of television a week. 30 hours. Now, let's just say they're a teenager from a Christian home. If they're not from a Christian home, it even makes it worse. But let's say they're from a Christian home. 30 hours a week of television, maybe 2 hours a week of God's Word. Where is the influence coming from? That's why it behooves us as a congregation to look after, to support, to encourage, to have our children in Sunday school. And if you are a parent with children in your family and your children aren't in Sunday school and you aren't in Bible class, my question to you is simply, why not? We're setting our children up to be easy pickings for the spirit of the Antichrist all around them. How about movies and books? Well, there was a recent book and movie that took a lot of press a few years ago called The Da Vinci Code. This was a fictional novel, but it was presented on the movie screen as a factual thing, with the result that it did mislead many people, and it was a blatant attack on Christ and the Christian church. How about personalities? Isn't it funny today? If your car breaks down, you go to a mechanic. If you have a tooth problem, you go to a dentist. But today, if you're a famous individual with a lot of press time or movie or TV screen time, people flock to you thinking you know everything and have the answers. And so we have famous personalities that have peculiar or weird religious ideas. And folks think, if it's good enough for them, it must be good too. Now, I won't mention any names. I'll give you two initials, Tom Cruise and Oprah Winfrey. Have I started to step on any toes yet? Cruise with his Church of Scientology. What a bunch of baloney. Oprah with the flavor of the week. Everything is fine. No problems. Any kind of religious faith at all. The sad thing is, because these people are so famous, if somebody says it, if they say it, people believe it. Now I'm really treading on thin ice. Because I saw a movie that was pretty stupid, actually, but it was adolescent boy humor, and I like that. Will Ferrell starred in a movie called Talladega Nights, The Legend of Ricky Bobby. If you've seen the movie, you know it's pretty stupid. But in the funniest scene of the movie for me, he's in a crash and he thinks he's on fire in a race car, but he's really not. But he runs around the track in his underwear and he cries out, "Help me, Oprah! Save me, Tom Cruise!" Why does he do that? Because he's poking fun of these media giants whose religious ideas are sucking all kinds of people in. If it's good enough for Cruise, it must be good enough for me. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. How about music? I challenge you to take time sometime to really examine what the catchy lyrics are really saying. And I'm not bashing rock and roll music. I still think the best was from the 60s and maybe early 70s. I'm not bashing country western, although I really enjoy that music. And where I came from in rural Leduc, the members of the church said we like two kinds of music, country and western. Whether it's country western, pop music, or rock and roll, carefully look at the words of the lyrics. It might be a catchy tune with a catchy beat, but often the words are godless or anti-Christ. How about the values of the world that are being crammed down your throats? Our children are exposed, particularly in public school today, to things and philosophies and teachings that we can't even fathom when we were in school. And now it's an everyday occurrence. There's nothing right nor wrong, just whatever works for you. There's no black or white. Everything is gray, and it's being crammed down our throats. But now you see, hopefully, you can now look for, you can spot the spirit of the Antichrist. So here's a practical challenge. Maybe you're a single individual. Maybe you're a family member. Whoever you are, I challenge you for 1 month to watch television with a pad of paper and a pen, any program, and jot down all the ideas or philosophies or things they're preaching and teaching and compare it with what God's Word says. It's amazing what's being crammed down our throats today. And now I'm really getting riled. In the secular media today, you can make fun of Christians all you want. You can ridicule clergy. You can make fun of. But if you wouldn't dare pick on any of the other major world religions, or you're narrow-minded, bigoted, and you better watch it or your building might be bombed. But Christians are fair game. Christ is being ridiculed. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, now we're going to quit preaching and start meddling. How about our own? I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. How about our own personal ungodly attitudes and habits? Our own ungodly attitudes and habits that deny Jesus Christ and lead others away from Him and the church. Lord, forgive us. There are probably people who are by name a part of this congregation, but have been hurt by others and are away because we have hurt them. God, forgive us. Help us to love them and reclaim them. This also is the Antichrist. Have you ever heard of the frog in the kettle experiment? It's on your outline. I didn't make it up. I've been told that a frog is called amphibian, is that right? And a frog is a creature that God made that can change their body temperature with surroundings. Well, the experiment was done that they put a frog in some water and just slowly warmed the water. And the frog's body got slowly used to the temperature. But after a while, the water was boiling and the water was scalding, but the frog stayed in the water and was boiled to death. Why? Because the frog got so slowly used to the heat getting hotter, it was so used to it, it didn't jump out. What's the point? We had been so slowly programmed by the spirit of the Antichrist in media and other things all around us, that things that used to bother us terribly 20 or 30 years ago, we don't even bat an eye at it anymore. Why? Because we see it so much. We become hardened to it, slowly warmed up to it, but it's still wrong. And who is behind all of this? Listen to 2 Peter 5. Be of sober spirit. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. This is kind of an unbalanced sermon. That was the law. What's the gospel? What's the good news? Listen to these words of Jesus, His wonderful promise. Matthew 16. Take the sheet home. Look at these more carefully. Simon Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, Upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. Jesus, nail-pierced, victorious, Easter hands are wrapped around you and me. And His victorious, nail-pierced, and Easter hands guide and build and protect you and me and all believers. That is the church. Thank God that the church is not just another human institution, because if it were, it would have been destroyed long ago. But Jesus says the gates of hell shall not overpower it. We conclude our message with a gospel illustration that illustrates Jesus has the final victory. One of the world's most unusual landmarks that I've ever heard about is a single granite shaft, like a large grave marker, on the western boundary of Russia near the town Wilna. On opposite sides of the granite obelisk is an inscription. Two inscriptions about the French Emperor Napoleon in 1812 going into Russia to invade. Listen to what it says. On the western side, it says, Napoleon Bonaparte passed this way in 1812 with 410,000 men. On the eastern side, the inscription reads, Napoleon Bonaparte passed this way in 1812 with 9,000 men. 410,000 coming in, 9,000 coming out. Napoleon and his troops met their match and were all but destroyed in this Russian campaign. And in the same way, Holy Scripture tells us that Satan and his Antichrist forces have met their match at the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus our Savior, and will one day, once and for all, be completely destroyed by God when the end of the world arrives. The Bible says in Romans 8, and here's a promise to hang your head on, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and died for us. My dearly beloved, don't let anything or anyone ungodly take away from you your blood-bought Christian birthright. You are a child of the King, and with King Jesus, you will reign forever and ever. Amen.